Welcome to the SB Live California podcast. Before we get going, I want to take a moment to tell you about something exciting for high school sports fans across the country. SB Live Sports has launched a free iPhone and Android app featuring the latest California high school sports news, scores, videos, polls, photos, podcasts, player rankings. With the SB Live Sports app, it is now even easier to follow your favorite team with real-time scores and news alerts, as well as video highlights, podcasts, photo galleries, rankings, game coverage, and much more. The app delivers all the content you want in one convenient place. The SB Live Sports app features exclusive content from on-the-ground reporters across the country, and it's your number one source for California high school sports fans with coverage from reporters Lance Smith, Bodie Da Silva, and me, Connor Morissette. The SB Live Sports app is available at no charge in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Download it today. All right, guys, I'm always happy when I don't mess up that read. It's the SB Live California podcast. Connor Morissette here with Lance Smith and Bodie Da Silva. Another roundtable discussion. We did our first one last week. Guys, how you doing?
Good. Glad to be back.
Very good. Just so happy to see football in the full swing of things.
Yeah, it's great. So we're 2 weeks into it. Like we did last week, we're going to start the show with some opening takes and then preview some of the best games from Southern California. So, Bodie, you went first last week with your opening take. Let's have you do it again. What do you got for us to start off the show?
Yeah, the biggest thing through 2 weeks down here for teams that I've seen is the difference in really some blowouts. I figured teams would either be on the same path of struggling offensively or struggling defensively, but there have been a lot of games between teams that I thought were pretty closely ranked, and they haven't ended up that way at all in the final score. Going back to week one with Torrey Pines losing 41-0 to Cathedral Catholic, this past week El Camino was up huge on La Costa Canyon, won by 5 touchdowns. Granite Hills has blown out 2 teams so far. And then the biggest one this past Saturday was Mission Hills taking down Oceanside 28-7. I figured Oceanside would win, but I thought it'd be a very close game. And so I'm not really sure what to point to exactly. I know different schools and districts and private schools were able to come back at different times, but even teams that had so many returning players and a lot of talent on both sides of the ball have still struggled early on. So I know some teams are missing players. Helix is down a bunch of guys that they would have had we played in the fall, but I've just been really surprised on the difference of how teams have performed that I thought should be on a much more even playing level at this point.
Yeah, I saw my first big blowout over the weekend. Modern Day killed Jay Sarah. But as a response to that, up here, I've seen some good games. I've been lucky. I saw Long Beach Poly and Sarah Gardino, which went to overtime. The Westlake Oaks Christian game that I was at last Saturday was tied at halftime. Even the Sierra Canyon St. John Bosco game I don't think was as much as a blowout as some people thought. So here, I don't want to say we're seeing the opposite because there have been a ton of blowouts too, but it's been nice that at the top a lot of the – games have been closer, so I'm happy to see that. Sorry, in San Diego, that's not the case. Hopefully, as the season goes on, we'll see some closer games, but I do understand what you're saying. Those blowouts have been surprising. All right, my opening take. So I was at that Oaks Christian game, like I said, and I expected Oaks Christian to dominate Westlake, and they didn't. It was tied at halftime, like I said, which was surprising to me. My biggest takeaway from that game, I spoke to head coach Charlie Collins at Oaks Christian after the game, and I thought he had a really interesting quote. And maybe interesting isn't the right word, a really surprising quote. He had to say, "Unfortunately, you hate to say it, but we were looking past this game and we were thinking about Sierra Canyon. There's a lesson in it, looking too far ahead, and then you have 4 turnovers and whatnot. You make it a close game. In spite of all that, we still managed to come back and wake up and win. We'll make a lot of corrections, come back next weekend, and we'll be ready to roll." I wasn't blown away by Oaks in that game. Like I said, I thought they were going to really come out and steamroll Westlake. That wasn't what happened. And asking the coach why after, he was honest and he said we were looking ahead to the next game. So my takeaway from those comments is I better see a better Oaks Christian team this weekend going up against Sierra Canyon, if that is true, that they have been game planning for Sierra Canyon for the past couple weeks. They did overlook Westlake. That's why they didn't look so good in that game, because they were preparing for Sierra Canyon. That's a massive game. And after seeing both teams this year, and Lance, you can talk about Sierra Canyon a little bit as well, I think Sierra Canyon has a huge edge in that game. I wasn't very impressed with Oaks Christian's ability to move the ball early in the game. I think Sierra Canyon will be able to take advantage of that. So my takeaway from that Oaks game and those comments from Coach Collins are, I would need to see more from them in this game against Sierra Canyon, because right now I really like the Trailblazers in that game. And I know they were looking ahead, Oaks Christian was, but that sounded a little bit like an excuse to me. And if that's true, then they need to come out and prove that they're ready for the Sierra Canyon game they've been game planning for 2 weeks. Because if not, I think it might be a little bit of a lopsided game. I think Sierra Canyon's that good, and Oaks, they weren't as good as I expected them to be. And they're going up against a great team now. So we'll see how they look coming up against Sierra Canyon in that game. But my expectations for Oaks were very high. And after watching them against Westlake, even though they were looking ahead potentially, I wasn't blown away. So we'll see how they look this weekend. I want to see more from them. All right, Lance, what's your opening take?
My opening take is building off of what you said last week with Servite has a legit chance in the Trinity League. I am predicting Servite wins this week against St. John Bosco. It's hard to even call it an upset at this point, given that they played them to 1 point last season. Servite returns so much talent. We've been hyping them up for a while. They are worth the hype. And this week I'm officially predicting the upset in an offensive shootout.
Okay, I'll get to my prediction later in that game. I love that take to start. Bodie, we'll go to you previewing some of the top games this weekend. In San Diego, we got a massive one, St. Augustine at Cathedral Catholic. That's the 2 at the number 1 team right now in San Diego. Give us a little bit of inside information on this game. As an outsider, I think Cathedral Catholic has a great shot to win, but what do you think going into this one?
Yeah, Cathedral would definitely be the favorite. They are hosting the game 2 years in a row. Saints are not playing any home games this year due to Mesa College, where they usually play their games, is not allowing anyone to utilize that. So Cathedral's played two quality teams as of right now. They're just outside the top 10, Torrey Pines and Steel Canyon, but they've yet to allow a point. They've really looked dominant in all phases, and it's a combination of some seniors that have really stepped up for their last chance, but they also have some juniors and sophomores that have Division I offers and are only going to use this and roll into that next fall season, and certainly would look like the favorite. We're looking way too far ahead at this point, but Saints is really good too. I don't think anyone in the county can match how big they are on both sides up front. They have one of the top juniors in Grayson Halton headed to Oregon. So I think Cathedral certainly is the favorite, but I would expect in this rivalry game Saints to play a really good game. And that's where I'll be, and I'm hopeful for a really good one this week.
We saw, and like you said, at the top, Helix clearly is underachieving, but they had some players who have opted out. So they clearly aren't as good as we thought. Is it safe to say that the two teams playing this week, St. Augustine and Cathedral Catholic, are they maybe better than what you thought going in? Is that fair to say, or do you think your expectations for them were about where they are?
Yeah, St. Augustine is kind of what I thought they'd be. Big up front, an experienced returning quarterback, and then young pretty much at all the skill positions. But just because they're young doesn't mean they're not talented. Cathedral is just better than I thought they'd be. They lost a bunch of linemen from last year. They lost their running back. But the guys they brought back have just performed. I mean, they used those 15, 16 months to get better and have clearly shown it so far. With those two, it's a little surprising, but they've always been good for recent times here. So not too much of a shock. For Helix, I know head coach Robbie Owens was quoted last week that they're down 12 starters that they would have had back in the fall. So and Tyler Buckner being the main one who's now enrolled at Notre Dame. So with all those guys, that was a team that I certainly thought would make a state championship run at one of the higher levels. And without it, it's too bad, because being at the game, there was too much criticism from fans in the stands yelling some things that, look, the kids are glad to be back out here. We don't need to get on them too much. They're playing with what they have. And 3-4 years from now, some of these freshmen will be really good and really will you have used this experience to get better at that point.
Do you have a score prediction for us, putting you on the spot?
Yeah, I will go, when a Cathedral team hasn't allowed a point through 2 weeks, it's tough to pick too many points, but I will go 31-21 Cathedral.
Okay, I don't know why, but I was feeling more of a low-scoring game. I'm going to say 21-7 Cathedral. Lance, so we'll put you on the spot. You got a score prediction?
Yeah, I'm in between. I'm going to go 24-17 Cathedral.
All right. So we all have Cathedral Catholic. That will be bulletin board material for you guys. Let's go to the game of the week up here, Servite at St. John Bosco. Bear with me, guys. I have some analytical notes here. I just want to get into it very quickly. So for me, this game, it's going to come down to quarterback play and Servite's depth, and I want to do a deep dive into quarterback play and how Servite will be impacted. So looking at St. John Bosco in 2019 and then this year, so using the Santa Margarita games as context. So in 2019, St. John Bosco beat Santa Margarita 56-10. In that game, the Santa Margarita quarterback, Colt Fulton, was 6 of 15 for 133 yards and one touchdown. Over the weekend when they played, it was Bosco 65, Santa Margarita 28, but it was 28-20 at halftime. It was a game, not unlike how it was back in 2019. Colt Fulton in the most recent game, 1 year, or I guess over a year removed now, but a season removed, 23 of 40, 268 yards, four touchdowns. So clear improvement from Colt Fulton, the Santa Margarita quarterback, from a year ago when St. John Bosco were undisputed national champions to this year, then playing in the spring with a different looking roster. So how does that impact this Servite game? Well, looking at 2019, St. John Bosco 27, Servite 26, it was a one-point Bosco win. Lance, I know you were at that game. The officials weren't great in that one. Bosco still won, but they had some calls go against them. Whatever. I see that score, one-point Bosco win. And in 2019, not last year, I keep saying last year, but the pandemic changed that. In the 2019 game, Noah Fifita, it was St. John Bosco 27, Servite 26. He was 15 of 27, 227 yards, three touchdowns, and an interception. So my whole big point with all these stats is Colt Fulton, the great senior quarterback, he made clear strides against St. John Bosco from 2019 to spring 2021. I know Noah Fifita is way better than he was in 2019. I know he's going to make clear strides. So if Santa Margarita's quarterback could do it, I think Servite's quarterback can do it. And I think the Friars will be able to put up a lot of points in this game because we saw that Santa Margarita was able to move the ball in the first half against St. John Bosco. Servite will definitely be able to move the ball against them in the first half of their game. The question is, can Noah Fifita and the rest of that Servite offense put up enough points for the Bosco fourth quarter onslaught? Because in this game against Santa Margarita over the weekend, Bosco won the fourth quarter 20-0. They have crazy depth. Servite doesn't have that kind of depth. That's where this game will be won and lost. Can Noah Fifita put up enough points to overcome the second half push that St. John Bosco will have because of their crazy depth? That's my main question. And looking at how Colt Fulton improved from 2019 to 2021 going up against St. John Bosco, I think Noah Fifita has a great shot too. My score prediction is St. John Bosco 31, Servite 30 in a classic, but I think the quarterback play and the depth of Servite are the two big things I'm looking at going into the game. All right, there's my whole hypothesis, my whole spiel. Lance, how do you see this one going?
I completely agree. And shout out to Colt Fulton. He's been a monster so far this season. He also erupted against Mayfair, who has a good defense. But I agree. Those numbers bode well for Noah Fifita. This was the first game of his that I saw, or it was the first Servite game I covered last season. And I was not only impressed with how simply talented and dominant their weapons in the passing game are, but I was perhaps equally impressed by how little fear they showed going up against the powerhouse, the eventual state and national champion. And those kids as sophomores and juniors on that Servite team, of course, Fifita and T-Mac being sophomores and arguably their two best, most important players, they showed no fear. And it was like they didn't even know that there was a status quo going on for several years in the Trinity League that they were on the verge of disrupting in a huge way. So I completely agree with you. I'm going to take Servite by a score of something like 36-33. I think you're right that depth is a huge factor here. And in terms of the reffing last year, it was very interesting because both teams had a very legitimate gripe. So St. John Bosco had one touchdown in the end zone that was ruled out of bounds. The receiver, I don't remember who it was. I think it was Chris Hudson, but I could be wrong. He was definitely in bounds. I have a very good camera view of it. At the same time, Servite had a gripe towards the end of the game when the clock was running. Servite had the ball, and there was a couple minutes left, and the clock was running when the Servite sideline didn't think it should have been running, and they might have had a legitimate gripe there. So it went both ways, but certainly there was at least one touchdown in Bosco's favor that should have been counted. But yeah, I mean, even if that touchdown gets counted, it's an 8-point game or something like that. That is still a game that comes down to the last couple minutes. So I completely agree with what you said, and I just can't wait.
Yeah, it's a huge game for the St. John Bosco secondary, because I didn't think through 2 weeks that they've looked tremendous. They've looked good. They have a lot of great players. A lot of them are young. So,
yeah,
of course, there are going to be some growing pains, but this is a huge game for them. Guys like Tavion Beasley, guys like Marcellus Williams, guys like Peyton Woodyard, a big growing up game for them. Can you compete against Noah Fifita, who is, you know, part of one of the best, if not the best, passing attack in California and has that great connection with Tepero McMillan? We know down the line they'll be able to compete with the best of the best, but can you compete right now as young as those guys are? That's a question I have. Bodie, Lance, go ahead if you'd like to respond.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say one guy who's been really impressive, probably the most impressive through two games and also St. John Bosco's preseason game or scrimmage against Damien, Sione Hala. He's been really impressive. Yes. He's been fantastic safety. And one thing Servite likes to do is launch downfield and just trust that T-Mac or whoever it is going to come out with it in double or triple coverage. Having a very good ball-hawking safety in Hala, I think this is a good matchup for him to really make a statement. That doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to clamp Servite, because one player can't clamp Servite. But this could be a good coming-out game for him. He's already a four-star guy, so he's already kind of come out. But look for him to be the X-factor in that secondary.
I think that's a great point. Yeah, he had a nice interception against Sierra Canyon in that game we were at. Bodie, can we get a score prediction from you? Lance has Servite. I have St. John Bosco. Who do you have?
Yeah, not knowing as much clearly about you guys, it definitely seems like this is a high-scoring battle. I would be surprised if it were low-scoring, just the way you guys have talked about. So I will go St. John Bosco, and I will go 42-38.
Okay, love it. I really hope this game lives up to its billing, because it really should be a good one. And remember, even if Servite wins this one, they still have to play Modern Day, and they've had a world of trouble with Modern Day in years past. So we'll see how there's a scenario where all those teams only lose one game, and then I have no idea how it would all go the league champs. So we can get into that if we need to down the line. Two other games I want to talk about: Oaks Christian at Sierra Canyon. I already talked about off the top how Oaks Christian didn't blow me away in that game against Westlake. Sierra Canyon, 56-0, I think it was, their demolition of St. Bernard. That caught my attention, because I know St. Bernard had a lot of opt-outs, but Manny Douglas, everywhere he goes, there's going to be talent, and those guys were young, but I did not expect 56-0. I think that was partially because Sierra Canyon was so pissed off at that St. John Bosco game, and Lance, we heard Coach John Ellinghaus talking to his team after that Bosco game. He thought they could have performed much better, even with a new quarterback, so I think that game was just very anger-filled, and that's why Sierra Canyon won by so much, but I think Oaks, they're in for a rude awakening. Sierra Canyon has been that team that's climbed slowly to the top. Oaks Christian is a perennial power, but recent years they haven't really reached that Division I clearly established team. I think Sierra Canyon's there. Oaks is a step behind in my eyes, so I think that's going to bode well for Sierra Canyon. Even without an established quarterback, they're here. I think Sierra Canyon will be able to limit Carson Schlesinger, who's been amazing for Oaks Christian, but if you can shut him down as a receiver, then that will limit their offense. The Oaks running game was tremendous against Paraclete, did not look great against Westlake. So I think Sierra Canyon will be able to do what Westlake did and slow down the running game. I have Sierra Canyon by two touchdowns. I'll say 35-21.
I'm with it. I probably would pick that same score. Sierra Canyon is death by a thousand needles. They this year, they are not going for the big play as much as they did when they had Chaden Peary under center. But Daniel Duran is such a good short gain, 10-20 yards, great decision maker. They run a lot of screen passes for DJ Harvey and co. Their defense is just terrifying. And it's not like they have the biggest front seven, but they have in the running for the most athletic front seven I have ever seen. Ezekiel Larry has been breaking out on the defensive line. He was a monster against St. Bernard. Elias Larry, well, I guess he's in the secondary, but he's been arguably their best defensive back through just a couple games, and that says a lot for defensive backfield with Kamari Ramsey and DJ Harvey and co. I mean, they've all been fantastic. No need to single out any one guy. Sierra Canyon, and then, of course, at linebacker, you have Drew Watts, who had a pick six against St. Bernard, and Cole Bullock, who is one of the hardest hitting, just most intuitive linebackers in SoCal, so underrated. That Oaks Christian is a team this year that has, that they rely on a lot of guys on both ends. It's not as much of a one-man show on either side. So for that reason, I think that's an even tougher matchup for Oaks Christian, because Sierra Canyon is similar, but presumably better in a similar way. And lastly, this game in the 2019 season, Oaks Christian won this game. It was kind of their marquee preseason win, yeah, or even their marquee win of the year, yeah, before they started dealing with injuries. It was also before Sierra Canyon really hit its stride. So Sierra Canyon probably revenge-minded. I think that last game was 21-14, and there's no way Sierra Canyon's only putting up 14 points in this one. Look for their defense to get them really good field position, make some plays, force some turnovers, just like they did against St. Bernard, and give their offense an easier route than having to march up 80 or 90 yards every single time.
Lance, how much did Daniel Duran play compared to Alonzo Contreras in that game at quarterback? Because I imagine, and I saw on Twitter, Contreras got in. He was the number two against St. John Bosco. Did Duran play most of the game? Was it split? If you saw anything at the quarterback spot for Sierra Canyon, what was your takeaway after game two?
It was pretty much all Duran. Contreras got some basically backup minutes, and he was fantastic in those backup minutes. But it was really Duran running the show. And the two-headed monster at running back of Anthony Spearman and Jason Jones Jr. Was also on full display. Just 10, 20 yards every single time, yards after contact. So, you know, like I said, Sierra Canyon's not going to beat you with the huge play, but they have just too many guys who can beat you with steady 10, 20-yard plays.
Yeah, I like Duran a lot. I think he's a real tough kid. I think he is a good matchup for Coach Ellinghaus, who's a gutsy coach. I wrote about that a little bit after that game. Bodie, do you have an Oaks Christian Sierra Canyon prediction?
Yeah, it sounds like I definitely need to go with Sierra Canyon. I will go 28-14.
I like it.
Yeah, me too. Before we get to the final Southern Section game, Bodie, is anything else from this past week in San Diego caught your attention that you want to hit on while you have the floor? It could be a game preview. It could be a top performer. You know, anything else you want to hit on. And maybe there's nothing, but just want to give you the floor one more time for any San Diego-related stuff you want to hit on before we wrap up.
Yeah, I'll go with El Camino. They're a team that ended the 2019 season really hot. They made a quarterback change right before playoffs started, and they didn't lose again until the state championship game. Along the way, they ended up battling Tyler Buckner in the Division II championship, a game which he did everything he could, and they finally overcome Bishops, which there's a big difference in roster size and school size there, but El Camino looked really good, and I know they were a team that that had we been playing back in the fall with playoffs, that was a team that looked to burst into the open division, and it's unfortunate that without it, we won't see them against a Cathedral, a Lincoln, a St. Augustine, because I think this is a year where they could really contend with them. I think their consolation prize will end up being go through the Avocado League and see what you can do against Oceanside, against Mission Hills when they get their chances. And we saw week one, they played a La Costa Canyon team that's always prepared, went on the road, and they were shutting them out at halftime on their way to a 35-point win. So El Camino is a team that they've definitely thought they were deserving of hype these last few months, and the way they started the season, it definitely looks like they belong.
Great. We'll finish the show with one other game I want to talk about. It's Alamany at Bishop Amat. Unless something's been changed, sadly, Bishop Amat isn't allowing media, so neither of us, Lance or myself, will be able to cover that one. So quick thoughts from me. Game of the year in the Mission League in 2019, this one was. Amat won at the end. Damian Moore was a beast. He's a Cal now, running back. This game is going to tell us a lot about Bishop Amat, because I feel like I don't know very much about them right now besides Tobin O'Dell, their quarterback's back. Steve Haggerty, their head coach, he's still there. Notre Dame lost to Alamany 21-9. And my question is, what will the score look like against Amont? Because I think Notre Dame has a great chance to finish second in the Mission League. In my preseason predictions, I had Amont finishing second, but they only put up 21 points against Cathedral in their Mission League opener, and that scared me. I think their offense is a work in progress, like a lot of teams is because of COVID and only having 2 weeks to practice. But I thought they would beat Cathedral a little bit worse than they did, and it was only a 21-6 game. So I think Alamany's going to put up points. And Amont, it looks like, will struggle on offense. 21 was enough for Alamany to beat Notre Dame. So even if Dylan Jebbia has an off game, I think they'll be able to get to 21 again against Bishop Amont. Alamany's defense looks really good, which is something I maybe didn't anticipate. I thought their offense might be a little bit better, but it looks like their defense is really good, led by RJ Jones, that great sophomore safety, and then junior Tui Halamaka, the – I'm so happy I nailed that pronunciation.
That was perfect.
Yeah, great junior linebacker. So Alamany's defense is going to win them the Mission League, I think. And I anticipate them to beat Bishop Amont. I have the score here 24-10. But I want to know more about Bishop Amont. Let's see what they do against the best team in the Mission League this week. Can they upset them? I'm not totally sure, but we'll see. Lance, what do you think?
I know those teams even less well than you do. I mean, you know the Mission League about as well as anyone. So I don't know the specifics super well of the personnel this year. But one thing about the Mission League is you see in league play every single year, in pretty much any league, that teams, no matter how they play in the preseason, there's a certain X factor to which teams just know each other. Rivalries and having seen each other every year and having been following each other's preseason, watching film on each other's preseason, like Bishop Amont and Alamany, for instance, they know each other all too well. And last year when the Mission League started, there were a few upsets very early on. Like Chaminade came out hot in a few games where it seemed like they, on paper, based on their preseason, didn't have a chance. That's an X factor that kind of makes me afraid to predict anything with Mission League play early on this season. But I agree with you, and I'm going to take Alamany by a score of 21-14.
Yeah, I think what's become clear is that Alamany's defense is just better than other teams. But I will say that Sarah's defense is really, really good too. They held Jalen Henderson just to 6 points in that overtime win. Even though it hasn't looked perfect with Malik Murphy, their junior quarterback coming into Texas so far in offense, that Sarah defense impressed me against Long Beach Poly. So I think Sarah's going to be in a lot of games, but I have Alamany's defense at number one, and then Sarah's probably at number two in the Mission League. So I think when they play, that'll be something to watch. But you're right, with the exception of Cathedral, and even they impressed in that 21-6 defeat. I thought that was going to be worse. I think every team will have a shot week in and week out. So look for Bishop Amont to have a shot this week, even though we both like Alamany. Bodie, we didn't really give you too much to work with there, but let's get your prediction.
I will go – sounding like the Alamany defense is pretty strong, so I will go 21-10.
Okay, boom. Thank you for tuning in this week. Lance and I will both be at the Servite St. John Bosco big game on Friday. And Bodie will be at the Saints Cathedral Catholic big game. And then I'm not sure exactly what Thursday or Saturday looks like quite yet, but I assume there will be some coverage then as well. This has been the SB Live California podcast. Lance Smith, Bodie DeSilva, Connor Morissette. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time.